Where we were. giving us sunshine that's needed to dry up a lot of this rain, and for a lot of those people that are still rebuilding and cleaning up from the recent storms, it's a much needed thing. But I'm thankful to God that He grants us these things and gives us these days of sunshine, and very thankful for this day that He's given each one. Thankful for each one of you that have made it your choice to come here this morning and to serve God. I'm very thankful for each of you. And Jimmy mentioned it this morning before Sunday school, but I too want to wish everyone Happy Mother's Day. I hope that you all have a blessed day today. The Lord would bless you. We need to go to the Lord in prayer. You may have something on your heart you would like to mention this morning. Let's continue to remember our lost. Let's continue to remember our family, those that are not here today. Let's remember those that are not here with us today. Anything on anyone's heart?
I know this day has been set aside by my mother, and I do want to thank God for my mother for taking me to church and praising me. But I also want to thank God because on Mother's Day, 58 years ago, He saved my soul.
Someone else this morning. We set aside a lot of days out of the year to commemorate mothers and fathers and all these different things, but those of us have been saved by God's grace. That's the greatest. That day is the greatest day. The greatest day, bar none, apart in our lives that will ever happen. Thankful this morning for mine too. Someone else this morning. Serve a God controls the winds and the seas.
I can't imagine walking out the door and nothing to be left. The bathroom is always left.
I'm thankful today that we serve that God. Someone else this morning. Come to my mind. I asked you to pray for a man that I work with. I spoke with him this week and invited him to come to church and asked him, you know, what church he went to, and he told me that he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. Sad. Matter of fact, I told him just how sad that is. Y'all help me pray for him. He needs our prayers this morning.
That's right.
Amen.
Brother Perry, I'd like to thank good Lord, a good mother too. She was only young to 9 children, all of us slaves except one. She wasn't only in front of me, our grandchildren, and neighbors. And I appreciate that.
Amen. Amen. Someone else this morning.
I want to thank the Lord for my mother too. She took me to church, and my dad didn't go, but he seen that we got there, and I appreciate that. And later on years, she told us that he'd been saved down in the corn crib at the barn, which I'm thankful I didn't have that.
Someone else.
I'd like to thank the Lord for my mother. She brought me to church since I was a baby. I don't know any different than this. She also helped me raise Brett. She quit work to watch him so I could graduate high school. It's like she stopped what she was doing so I could continue. If it wasn't for Mom, I don't know what me and Brett would have done. And also pray for him that he'll come back to church and do something with himself.
Bless you. Pray for Brent this morning. Someone else. If not, let's go to Lord in prayer this morning. Tell him how thankful that we are for our parents and for salvation, for the opportunity to be here today. Nothing else on anyone's heart. Brother Jim, would you lead us?
Thank you.
page 298.
Leads me on.
I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil in all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well on the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idols. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, excellent, excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This reading this morning that I have brought forth, if I had a title to my message today, would be simply put, A Virtuous Woman. Much of the things we've read over here today seem possibly in this day and age as something that was many, many, many years ago that these things happened. There's not a lot of, I guess, sewing and making of clothes anymore, and we've all got department stores. We go shop and we buy the whatever kind of clothes we like. There's a lot of different changes in the world that we live in, opposed to the time that this word was written. But there are things that is written in this, even though our times have changed, even though there's points in this that stand out to me in my mind as I stand before you this morning. There's points of strength and being a godly woman, a God-fearing woman, that is important to us today in this age that we live in. It has not changed. we think about these things, and if you think about the word virtuous, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, it has reference to men of war and strength and valor and fighting. When you think about in the context that we read this morning about the strength of a mother, of a woman, someone that willingly fights for her family because she loves them, stands up for her children and her husband because she loves them, and strength, the strength that she has to do the things that she does of the house, that is so many times neglected and respected by the men of the homes. The things that make up a virtuous woman is something that not only the women of this world should see, but the men of this world needs to know and understand also. As I've been meditating and thinking about this particular subject this week, many things come to my mind, and you know, you can go back into the Old Testament and even the New Testament too, but the things that come to my mind were in the Old Testament, and it has reference to just exactly the strength and the influence that a woman can have upon a family, upon a country, if you will. The place of a woman, according to God's word, was never to be put in the head of a man. The man is supposed to be the head of the house. There has always been a God-ordained order that has been laid out. I think you guys probably studied a little bit over that in Sunday school this morning. That where you go back into Genesis and you find that God took Adam and He took a rib from him and He made woman. And that even though He took that rib and He gave him a helpmeet, when sin came into the world, it changed things. It changed the perspectives of things. But all throughout the time from the beginning until you go back into the New Testament, you find very clearly that there is equalness. We find in the teaching of God's Word that when a man and a woman are married, they become one. That there is a union there, and that there is a bond between a man and a woman, that even though the man is to be the head, that they are equal in the sense that the other one wants to make the other one better. It's always one looking towards the other. Never one trying to take the upper hand of the other. I believe that's the oneness and the combining of a man and a woman in marriage. I believe that very plainly and clearly that the Bible teaches these things. A virtuous woman, morally good, conforming to the law, to the moral laws, to what is right and what is wrong. And I believe that a virtuous, good, moral, godly mother has a great, great influence upon the house that she lives in. I saw it growing up. I was blessed to be able to see that growing up. I'm blessed to be able to see it in the home that I live in with my wife. How
She puts God first in things in our home. It's a blessing. So many times I know that my wife has brought me back to where I needed to be. She's helped me just by her strength and her direction and her walk in her life, not veering or straying away from the things of God. Holding firm, never trying to overpower or browbeat me, but just be strong and firm in her belief in the things of God, of what is right and what is wrong. I saw that, and I'm so thankful that I saw these things as a child when I grew up. I saw times in my life where my father didn't go to church for one reason or another, but my mom, she took me. She took me to church. I'm thankful for that this morning. There's a strength that was there that without words shone like the shining sun. A mother's love that wanted what was right for me in my life. Wanted me to know and understand that the things of God is more important than anything else that goes on in this world. As a boy. You know, my mom, she couldn't quote no scripture. And she didn't, you know, do a lot of the things like that, but she had an inner strength. When the church doors was opened up on Sunday morning, she was sitting there over at A Women's Corner. Every time the doors was open, she showed up and she was there. Never heard her say a whole lot in my life. Never heard her testify but a few times in my life. But she was there. She was serving God. And the strength and the love that was within her shone to everybody that knew her. I think that example that was set forth is important. In this day that we live in, more so than ever, that mothers show themselves to be virtuous women, not having a upper hand or a forceful attitude, but a strength and a love to God, where God is first, and it's presented in their lives. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, though so that she shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. We can turn over into the book of Titus and look in the second chapter of the book of Titus. And we can see what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, and to love their husbands, and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It's pretty plain and clear. It's straightforward. The Bible teaches that
that a woman is not to usurp authority over a man, that she is not to be a preacher, or she's not to do many things, but there is so many examples that are giving just the power and the strength of what a woman can do if they don't follow after the guidelines and the directions. We can look into the Old Testament and we can see how, I know many of you know the story of Balaam and Balak, where Balaam took and Balak was wanting these idol God countries to take them over, and he wanted Balaam to bless them so they could take control over the countries, and God wouldn't bless them, but Balaam told them how that they could destroy Israel, that they could allow the women to go in there and to change the minds of those men that were in control to serve idol gods, and that God would destroy them. There is a great power of persuasion. I think we can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and Adam and Eve, and we can find in the eating of the fruit how the power of persuasion that is set up, that a woman's ability they have upon a man, and they can see how much damage can be done. We can find that all through, but we can also find so many good examples of how women that believed. You can turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and it speaks of Rahab in the Old Testament, how that she believed and that all her house was saved, her father and her family, because she believed. Those walls of Jericho didn't fall upon them, and they didn't destroy that family because she believed. You think about the woman at the well, how Jesus, and I guess probably one of his first appearances is to show his messiahship, he went to this woman, and she went back and she told them. And there was many people that got saved because she told them about Jesus. She told them about the man that told her all things that she'd ever done, and they believed her. And there were many saved because of that. There's so many examples. You think about marriage. Anymore, the days that we live in, to live together, or premarital sex, all these different things that is not taught in God's Word. The world we live in says it's okay. You know? You need to try it first. You know, the world will tell a man or a woman, you know, you need to know who they are before you marry them, because you need to know if it's going to be good enough, if you're going to like it enough. So you just go live with them. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. But we live in a world today that it does that. It's important that we hold to the truth that, you know, in marriage, that there is a symbol of purity. You know, when a bride gets married, they wear white. And that white is a symbol of purity. It's a symbol of virginity. Never been with a man before. These things are important for men and women, but it's not taught in this world that we live in. The virtuous woman is few and far between in the world that we live in today. But this is part of what being a virtuous woman is. Purity, cleanliness. We find all these things that the Bible teaches us about that. And you know, the marriage was a symbol taught in the book of Ephesians, over in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, about Jesus used it as a symbol of the church and himself. Christ would one day come back and marry his bride, his church being the bride. And he wanted it to be without spot, without blemish, blameless, pure and white and holy. So is today the same thing. It has not changed. It's an example that the Lord used, that's something that we can understand. We're all supposed to be that way. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." There's a oneness that is involved. There's a oneness. It's in marriage, there's a union. Two become one. Two become one, caring for the wants and the needs of the other. And involved in that, there is so much strength that is needed. There is so much love that is needed to go beyond the boundaries of things that confront you in your marriage. I know many of you have been married many of years, and you know and understand what I'm saying is true. It starts out with being a virtuous person for things to work in our lives the way they're supposed to. Great influence, godly mothers, godly wives, you have so much influence upon this world that we live in. It's not often put like that, but it is what it is. Many men make a joke oftentimes, who wears the pants at the house? Who makes the decisions, and who does this and who does that? Well, you know, it should be we make the decisions and we do this and we do that, because marriage is a union. It's one. I know without my wife, there's many things that I can't do. You know, and there's things that she can't get done without me. It's important that we know these things. God gives instructions to wives that their husbands are lost. Over in the third chapter of the book of 1 Peter, it says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without word, be won by the conversation of their wives." The conversation, their lifestyle, what makes them tick? Their whole life, their whole being. That their husbands may be won over by the lives that they live, that will have an effect upon them. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and the quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price." It's of great price. I believe that, you know, so much emphasis as far as church goes is put on the men. Men are supposed to be the teachers. Men are called to preach. Men are the heads. But God said, it's not good for man to be alone.
And he gave them a helpmate. He gave them a virtuous woman, a woman that would fear God to help them all through their days and all through their life, to keep them in the place where they need to be, to help bring them back to where they need to be, as mine has done, my mother and my wife, so many times in my life. That willingness to go to war. Nothing like a mother's love that to get a hold of you and straighten you out, is it? And it don't make any difference how old you are. You're still your mama's son, or you're still your mama's daughter. When they say something, they deserve respect. The Bible teaches us to give them respect. The elder ladies of this church, all of us that are younger, we're to give them respect. Because it's what the Bible teaches. When we can look back over into the book of Proverbs just quickly, and I think it's about the sixth verse, sixth chapter. It says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment." This is Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother." You know, as we can look and we can see in the biblical times that the mother raised the children up to a certain age, and if he was a young man at a certain age, then he'd be turned over to his father from that point on and instructed and raised from that point on. Mothers have a great deal of influence. You just think about the mother of Moses that gave up her son and then went back and raised him and taught him what was right, even though he was raised in the Pharaoh's house. He knew right from wrong. The influence of a godly, virtuous mother has a great weight upon this world. I just say this morning, God bless each and every one of you godly wives and godly mothers. God bless all of you. And keep up the good work. Because I need your prayers and I need your help. I bless you all this morning. That's my message. I believe it to be very fitting for this day. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. That we have a song, Christian Handshake, this morning. If your mother's here this morning, give her a hug, tell her you love her.
Glory land way. Here today. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you showered down upon us, Lord. We'd ask you, Lord, to hear the prayer request that was made today. Ask you, Lord, to be with Brother Armour and give him guidance and strength. We'd ask you, Lord, to forgive us of our sins. Help us, O Lord, to serve you and be in the center of your will. Above all things, Lord, we'd ask you to convict the lost, to give us a burden for the lost, that we might pray for them with all our hearts. Lord, we'd ask you to watch over us and take care of us until we meet again. It's favors and blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.